ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Old man Joe. You know, the young guys, they only know old Joe. They don't know Joe that first came into the league 12, 13 years ago. Young Joe was actually into stuff all the time, man. Young Joe would mix it up with you. That's the Australian way, though. Like, one thing an Aussie gonna do, they gonna mix it up with you.
That is hoops legend Draymond Green speaking about the tenacity of Australian champion Joe Ingles. And it's a kind of symptom of the way that man is seen by the biggest names in the biggest league in the basketball world. Chuck Joe Ingles into YouTube, you'll get served an array of huge names laughing about sparring with the South Australian. And that's what respect sounds like in the NBA. After a 12-year career that took him to Utah, Milwaukee, Orlando, and Minnesota, he's heading for Melbourne United and the NBL. And it says a lot about Ingles, but also the NBL right now. Ingles is discussing the lot. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Joe Ingles, after 12 years in the NBA, you're returning to Australia in the NBL, a 2-year deal with Melbourne United. I guess hoops fans will be wondering, why now?
Why not? Yeah, I've obviously thoroughly enjoyed all my time starting at AIS and NBL and Europe, and then obviously the NBA. And I mean, the biggest thing and the first thing that came up for us was a family decision. I've been gone 17 years. My wife's basically been with me more or less the whole time of that. And my oldest kids are 9-year-old twins now, and they've basically never been to Australia except visiting, obviously, in the summers here and there with the Boomers. So yeah, family decision first of like, we feel like it's the time to come home and be around family and friends and let my kids play with cousins and do all the stuff that we've missed out on for 9 or 10 years now. And then those steps kind of progressed of like, what am I going to do in Australia if we go back? I was like, do I play? Do I not play? Do I go sit in Brighton Beach and drink coffee, or kind of figure it out as we go? And yeah, spoke to my agent a little bit, obviously spoke to Renee, and in terms of the playing side of like, still feel really good, still have the motivation and that like desire to compete and do all that. And so yeah, started having some conversations and ended up here.
The last time you were in the NBL, you were playing for the now defunct South Dragons. You won the league with them. They folded due to financial struggles. I feel like a lot has changed in the game in Australia. How much do you think things have shifted?
I can honestly say, like, I'm not going to sit here and say I know the NBL now. Like, I've watched games. I've still got a lot of friends that play. I've had coaches I've played for in America. I've had American teammates go down there. I've had Boomers teammates still playing there. So I've always followed it. I've spent a lot of time on planes landing at 2 a.m., which is like perfect time to watch a couple of NBL games as we're driving to the hotel or whatever. So I've watched games. I know the league from that perspective, but I'm not going to sit here and say I know exactly what I'm getting into. Obviously, I'm extremely confident in myself to be able to come back and play. I would not have made this decision if I didn't think I could do it. I've had an unbelievably successful long career. I'm very well aware that I'm 38 years old and be 39 by the time the season starts, and could happily go sit by the river here in Orlando and like watch my kids and do their sports. But yeah, really excited by it. And like I said, like I definitely wouldn't do it if I didn't believe that I could help Melbourne win.
Is it an emotional thing to end what's been a 12-year odyssey across the United States? Like, what an incredible career that you've had over the last decade and a bit.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily say emotional in terms of like, I'm pretty lucky. I'm 38 and I still get to play basketball. Like, I'm playing a kid's sport for a job.
Ingles drifting into the corner. Good for three.
I've made unbelievable friends, obviously with like teammates, coaches, GMs, owners. I've been very lucky to do what I've done. And obviously I'll miss, like, I mean, there's not much better than the NBA. Like, I get to sit and watch Ant play. I get to watch Giannis. I've got to be around Donovan, Rudy. Like, the list goes on of players I've played with and stuff. The good thing is we're doing this right now. You're in Melbourne and I'm in Orlando. I'm always going to stay in contact with the people I'm close with. I'm always going to come back to the States and visit friends and teams I've been a part of. Like, this isn't like the end of I'm never going to see anyone again. The other part is like the last couple of years I haven't played here. I'm not leaving playing 30 minutes a game and like couldn't get a job or whatever that was. So obviously it'll be different. Like, I'm very well aware the American and Australian lifestyles are pretty different. But I'm also really ready to join Australia and Melbourne and live that lifestyle and just enjoy being around friends and family again and getting some good coffee and hanging out. And yeah, there's a lot of positives to us coming home, as many as there is negatives, like or emotions to us leaving as well.
You don't get to play 12 years in the NBA without obviously being an elite hooper, but we've also seen you lionized by some of the best players in the NBA as one of the best trash talkers in the league. I've seen Giannis Antetokounmpo spar with you.
I'm not coming. You guys have Joe Ingles over there.
That's right.
You guys produced Joe Ingles.
Mm-hmm.
He sucks.
I've seen Draymond Green do the same. I've seen you lighting up Ant Edwards, who's maybe one of the lippiest guys getting around. If fans are sitting courtside at Melbourne games, should they be expecting some of the best trash talk globally? And did you have a favourite sparring partner in the NBA?
I mean, you get, like you said, the best of the best. Like there's, and I think what gets twisted in it a little bit is like there's obviously a lot of talking, whether you guys see it or not. Like even if the cameras aren't, like there's a lot of like practices, plane rides, it's pretty nonstop. I mean, Ant would be up there. Ant's had his fair share of comments this year, which I got to witness pretty closely.
Hey Ant, tell me who locked you the up today.
Joe got one stop today.
Like me and Russ used to get into it all the time, and then I ended up working out with him for like 4 summers in a row, and he's like one of the best guys I've met in the NBA. Once you cross those lines, like personalities change a little bit, but off the court, everyone's pretty cool. You get to, me and Jimmy Butler used to get like double technicals every time we played each other for about 4 years straight, and he helped me get my house in sand. Like there's just different things that play a part in it, but at the end of the day, like you said, like so much fun listening to it, so much fun talking back to people. And yeah, like no doubt. I mean, that's who I am. I'm a talker regardless. Like I've been sitting on here trying to manage this whole like media night. I was meant to be on here for 45 minutes. It's been 2 hours because they keep talking. Yeah, for sure. The fans courtside are going to hear some stuff they probably haven't heard for a while. But in saying that, like it's all in fun. I've never crossed the line. I never would cross the line, but I'm going to talk.
It speaks volumes that you're opting to come back to the NBL when you could likely be getting minutes in the NBA. I suspect you've been a huge part in changing the perception of Australian hoops in the NBA and as a consequence around the world. I just wanted to ask, how much do you feel like that has shifted in your time in the league?
Without the ego side of it, like I realize what I've been able to do in my career, which is still going. Thank you very much for another couple of years. But obviously I'm a very prideful Australian. I would always talk about the NBL. I would always, like, everyone would always ask me what my favorite team to play on. I say the Boomers every time. Like, there's not a question about, like, I've been on some great NBA teams. I've been on some great EuroLeague teams. I was on a great NBL team that won a championship in whatever year that was, 45 years ago. But my favorite team to play on ever was the Boomers, and that will never change.
And Dellavedova with a great punch out to Ingles for the exclamation point. Australia up by 8 with 3 seconds left. And it's 2 straight losses for Team USA in Las Vegas. 91-83 Boomers.
So, yeah, like you take responsibility. Like when you're over here, and when I came over here initially, like there was only a handful of us playing in the NBA, like you take that responsibility of one of whatever the number was that we're obviously, I'm representing myself and my family and all that, but I'm representing Australia, and you want to do the best job you possibly can to open that door for more Australians. And I'm not saying I'm the biggest part for more Australians come over. There's obviously what Bogut and Deli and Patty and like back to like Shane Hill and Luke Longley and Gazy for a minute, like all these different guys have played parts of it, but we've all played a part in it. And these guys now, like Giddy and Dyson and Jock and like Tyrese Proctor and like all these guys that are always going to, there's going to be more coming. Yeah, and I've taken pride in that. I've always tried to keep my Australian like culture and all that as close to me as I can. And we would like have kitchens in Orlando, Milwaukee, where I'd the Vegemite in there and just different things of like having a bit of fun with it. So yeah, I'll take all that. And obviously now like almost like flip the script a little bit. Like I want to help these NBL players, whether they're Australians or the younger imports, like I want to help them come over here now. That's something that I've really enjoyed the last few years, like helping like mentor the young guys. And I'll continue that on the flip side to do that from the NBL to try and get as many players over here now.
We know the Adelaide 36ers and South Melbourne Phoenix were actually chasing you this time around, way back in the day. Your hometown team, Adelaide, made you a comically low offer. They even managed to misspell your name on the contract. And ultimately, that meant you went elsewhere. Were there other instances in this process that kind of shaped your decision that were maybe a little below board, or was it a bit more professional this time around?
a little bit easier. I think when I was 17, I basically visited like every NBL team, was actually pretty close to like probably going to sign with someone else. And then the Dragons came in late because of the owner's son, who was like, "Dad, you should watch this kid one time." And he watched me and wanted to sign me, who I'm still really close with, that whole, the Cowan family now. I mean, I guess the only like funny thing is as we were talking, like obviously Goulding and like the professionalism of what Melbourne United is was a big part of it. But obviously like Dean was a part of it too. Like I'd been around Dean, I'd seen Dean over the last 9-10 years, whatever, like build Melbourne into who they are today, and was really excited to play for Dean. Last time when I signed in the NBL, I signed when the Dragons didn't have a coach. I was the first player signed and we didn't have a coach. I thought I was signing with Melbourne and was going to be coached by Dean, and that obviously has changed recently. So yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I think I was a little more nervous as a 17-year-old signing with the Dragons, not having a coach, than I am as a 38-year-old. But no, it's always fun. Like it's, I actually said to my wife the other day, like, you get to certain parts in your career, especially as an athlete, where at some point jobs don't come to you anymore, whether it's your age or your injuries or whatever path you want to look at. And I've been like very, very lucky in a sense. And obviously I've worked my tail off to be in the positions I've been in, but I've never gone an off season without having a job offer yet. And that's something I'm proud of. Like I've worked my butt off to be in a position for every year to get a job. And 60 rookies come into the NBA every year, which means 60 players are out of there. And I've been very lucky to do that for 12 years. And then this summer came around and obviously we'd made this decision. I'll never ask my agent if I could have stayed in the NBA because I don't want to know the answer to it. But I also like thoroughly believe in the back of my mind that if I wanted to stay here, I would have been able to get another job. So it's a ton of fun. And like I said, I'm thrilled to be joining Nick and the ownership, or now with the new owners, Travis and Aaron. And yeah, really, really excited about it all. But if you saw the chaos in my house right now, you wouldn't be excited. There's boxes everywhere and you accumulate a lot of junk after 12 years. So yeah, we got a lot to do over the next little while. And that includes booking flights to come home because we have no idea about any of that. So really excited, but a lot to do between now and then.
Joe, thanks so much for your time. Appreciate it.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me.
Headlines. Arsenal so close to that drought-breaking Premier League title. The Gunners beat Burnley 1-0 this morning. They're 5 points clear of Man City.
That's the noise they wanted to hear. 5 points clear. Manchester City with 6 points left to play for.
Did we mention legendary Man City manager Pep Guardiola appears set to conclude his time at the club? Turns out there's only room for one AFL team in Tassie. Head office has punted Hawthorn from the Apple Isle at the end of 2027 as they clear room for the Tasmanian Devils. The Hawks, they're livid. They've released a statement describing it as a, quote, forced end to our relationship. Right, it's like a parent telling their child to break up with a boyfriend or girlfriend. You suspect we'll hear more on this one. The BBL might not be getting sold to India in the short term, but the T20 competition is going to play in the country. There are reports across Aussie media suggesting the men's tournament will launch in Chennai this coming summer for the opening fixture. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Poppy Penny. Thanks to Bally Sports, ESPN, The Draymond Green Show, and Stan Sport for the extra audio used in this episode.